Welcome to the March 5th, 2025 meeting of the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board here in Clark County. Just as a reminder, before we get started, this meeting is audio recorded and it will be available to listen to on the county website when everything gets posted. It takes a couple days usually. So welcome everyone. Good to see you all. And those of you online, first of all, do we have some community input?
Yes, this is Emily Rogers from the DD Council.
Hi.
I'm sorry, you have my photo up there because my camera is not working because I've been running around, all day and I can't seem to get my camera to work properly.
That's okay.
So, I apologize for that. But I wanted to come, and I was invited to come and talk for just a minute about the Medicaid Matters campaign that a number of our organizations are working on together to magnify the voices of folks who rely heavily on Medicaid services, because currently both on a federal and state level, Medicaid is looking like, you know, folks are looking critically at Medicaid to make some cuts, and it's really, really critical for everyone to speak up and let legislators and Congress people and senators know how important this program is to you, no matter how you come to the conversation, if you're a parent or a person with a disability or a provider, or I mean all of the stories. We need everyone to speak up. This is a time you want to do it, because it's really between now and the end of the month, that they're really making those choices. And we, you know, those of us that are concerned with, community living, which I know all of you are as well, we just really need to, make our voices loud and proud. And so this is, kind of an emergency. I know on many levels, I've spent a really long time saying, oh, now is the time to speak up, now is the time to do it, but like for real. It's really a critical time for the Medicaid services that everyone relies on. I wanted to put in the chat the link to our page, which allows you to submit video recordings of yourself, or if you'd rather have rather submit like a written with a photo of yourself, you could do that as well. There's several different ways to do it. I also have put up there some videos that I've done around Medicaid and what's included. And we at this point don't know what is part of the negotiation and part of the cuts. But we need to be still in there and talking about the important things. So I'm just here to let you know about this campaign, and please, if you have any questions, please reach out to me. Again, you can find me on the DD Council webpage. There's my email there, and I can add my email in the chat as well. So thank you for having me for just a minute, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Thank you, Emily. Let's see if we have any questions in the room. Anybody have a question for Emily? Okay. Monica?
Yes. Emily, can you just explain again the link that you're going to be sharing and what we can provide when it comes to telling our story about our loved ones? What important information do you want us to present?
Emily, you're muted if you are talking right now.
Sorry. So as you may know, Medicaid covers a lot.
Yes.
It covers a lot of services and supports that that folks really rely on. So it's a lot more than just medical coverage and things related specifically to healthcare. For instance, it's employment supports, it's personal care supports, it's like all the supports essentially that someone would get in their daily life. And so I am suggesting that if you have a story about how Medicaid impacts your life or someone you care about, that we are collecting videos from folks all over the state to be able to have available and send it to legislators and congressional members to let them know that these are really significant thoughts around cutting supports and services for folks. And we are wanting to have a response, you know, when people are thinking, well, it's Medicaid and it's a huge program. Well, that might be true, but those dollars mean a lot to community living and to people with disabilities. And so we need to make our voices loud about why this program is essential for our lives. And so so a big piece of it is getting the word out and getting your stories out as successes of Medicaid, right? As things that are positive about what Medicaid supports in your life or in someone that you care about's life. And it's just really a critical time. And I put it in the chat. I also can send along the link to anyone who's interested. If you're in person, I know that Darla and others have the link, and you can find the link. And I'm willing to send it to anybody who wants to take a look. But it's an effort to collect stories and get accurate information about what Medicaid is about.
Okay, thank you, Emily. We have more hands up in the room. So Mona.
Mona first now. Hi, Emily. Question, is this a coordinated effort across states, across the country, or is this just Washington, D.C. that's spearheading this?
There's all sorts of different efforts across the country. There's not one coordinated effort. There's several different things that have happened across the country, and we have taken some of the good ideas from other states and implemented them here. And so the videos that we worked on and that I worked on were largely a result of what Wisconsin had done. And not the same, because we made sure that they were accurate to our state, but similar in style to what Wisconsin has done. And then there's several other states across the country that are working in the same vein, but differently. It depends on, you know, where the strengths are. But this is specifically with the DD Council and the ARC and SAIL.
So Emily, and I know that the National ARC has sent out action alerts, and I would imagine that our Washington State ARC is connected with the National ARC.
Oh, yeah. So, I've done all that. Yeah. I just wondered about this.
And then the other thing is that, you know, there are other national organizations like NAMI that are also sending out these kind of action alerts too, because it has broad, you know, it reaches a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
Well, I think that we are in support of all of it, right? I mean, the main goal is that we want folks to not cut Medicaid. So I think, it's an effort, another effort. If you've done something around any of those other ones, I'm certain that we would be supportive. It's just another opportunity.
Thank you. Another question, Emily. Monica?
Yeah, just to expound on what Emily was saying, and one of the reasons why I asked for just a little bit more clarification, because a lot of times families don't always know what Medicaid does pay for. And so one of the things that I would ask, and I would imagine, you know, the state and Darla and other folks and Mona, talking about, you know, like you said, it's more than just healthcare. A lot of people don't understand that it is, you know, the direct support providers that support an individual in the community. Mm-hmm. That it's, it can be, like my son has Medicare with Medicaid as a secondary. So the major health concerns that he has in surgeries, usually the residual is picked up by Medicaid. And, more and more, durable goods, as even though you talked about personal care, it's respite, the list goes on and on. And that's kind of one of the areas where I don't think families know really oftentimes, because ones that I interact with, they're like, oh, well, Medicaid doesn't bother us. You know, we've got this, we've got that. And it's like, oh, but that really is.
Right.
So,
I hope that there's a little more, perhaps on this link, and I haven't looked at it, I'm sorry, Emily, but to say these are the things that Medicaid does pay for, and even though sometimes we'll say, well, it's a Medicaid that's paid to the state, well, there is a state portion, there's a federal portion, and, there's a more...
I did do 6 different videos all about all different parts of Medicaid, and so many of the things that you're touching on are included in the videos that I did.
The videos are really great. They're like 3 minutes long, to the point, can be shared, and that's on that Medicaid Matters website that has like some really great, just really clear information. I can share an example of some family input. There was a parent that couldn't be here tonight but wanted me to read this email that she sent me and share this photo of her son. This is from Martha Meyer, who is a parent in our community. And the email says, "Dear DDAB, I'm extremely concerned about the cuts to Medicaid that are in the works. I encourage you all to do all you can to stop them. Because of Medicaid, my adult son, Jeff, has a steady job he loves as a courtesy clerk at Safeway. Without the support of his job coach and the agency, he would not have been able to hold this job, since he deals with a great deal of anxiety and is not always appropriate in social settings. Because of his employment agency funded by Medicaid, he has worked for over 5 years in this job. Additionally, Jeff depends on Medicaid personal care for day-to-day supports. He needs help with cooking, grocery shopping, cleaning, and other activities of daily living. He also needs support during many times of stress and anxiety, as well as help in finding those who can help him, therapists, psychiatric care providers, etc., and scheduling appointments with them. If he lost Medicaid personal care, we are concerned for his daily well-being, especially once we, his parents, can no longer help with his care. Thank you for speaking out about this critical crisis. Sincerely, Martha Meyer, Parent Advocate, Vancouver, Washington." And Martha asks that I also share this photo. And Emily, she will be sharing this with you as well for the campaign.
Awesome. Thank you.
Let me see. I'm trying to share. Sorry. There we go. So that's her son, Jeff.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Emily. You are welcome to stick around.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if you guys can see in the room there, but there's a number of people that have their hands raised, both physically within their little square, as well as using the virtual option of raising their hand.
Okay, perfect. I see Rosemary.
Hello.
So I'm gonna make it through this without crying. How's that? So my name is Rosemary, and I'm the director of employment vendor for Clark County. And the impact of Medicaid cutbacks on our customers is gonna be huge. So I just want to thank everyone for being, you know, in the room, and my team for advocating for our customers. But as we all know, the significant and the far-reaching, just the impact that the recent Medicaid cutback discussions will have on our customers are huge, and their supports and their families. Especially just in within the terms of the community and employment supports that we provide with IE and CI. For many of our customers, our community and our employment support we provide may represent their only access to meaningful engagement within their community. And we are fortunate to be able to provide both, like I said, the IE and the CI. You know, we look at the services not only helping them gain and maintain their employment, but also to promote the social inclusion, improve mental health and physical health. And just, it gives the folks we work with the sense of self-worth. And again, you know, just, and everybody's heard this, but social isolation, just even what we've seen from COVID, and now we're talking Medicaid, is going to be huge. We're going to see job losses. Many of our customers rely on job coaching, transportation, learning how to ride C van, transportation to and from work, other work-related services. And without these resources, they may struggle to keep their jobs, which will lead to loss and financial lack of finances and then self-esteem. All I had.
Thank you, Rosemary. I see Darla's hand. I can't know if I
Randy. Randy has also got her hand up.
Oh, Randy. Yeah, I'm sitting at an angle where you guys are all kind of foreign to me. So, Randy, do you want to go? Then Darla after her.
Thank you. Just reiterating, my daughter is autistic as well as trans, so Medicaid has been so incredibly important to her mental health and her physical well-being. And being a person who has high-functioning characteristics, often it's the mental health issues that are more challenging because nobody recognizes that they have a disability. They just think they're weird, and the bullying and life ensues as such. That said, back to my legislative director hat on that one, can we write a letter as a board? Can we ask the Association of Counties to take this on as one of their issues? It's certainly included in our legislative platform in terms of no cuts. So I just wanted to see if we could go ahead and generate that because we know they help.
Of course we can.
Cool. Thank you.
We've become really proficient at creating letters. All right. Thank you, Randy, for the suggestion. And I don't know if we'll be able to get a letter drafted tonight during our meeting, but we will definitely work on that. Darla, your hand is up as well.
And I'm coming to you at the moment as a parent, not as a professional. Okay. I have two adult sons, ages 35 and 33, I can't believe they're that old, who are individuals that live with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And these Medicaid cuts, while yes, they will impact their employment, they'll impact their meaningful day, they'll impact so much. It's those personal care issues, shopping for groceries, getting them to doctor's appointments, prescription drug coverage, eyeglass coverage, dental coverage, all of those things that are going to be potentially being cut. And the personal care and the prescription drug are what's called optional services in our state. So those would be some of the first to be cut and really the most critical. And just to remind you, this isn't just individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. This also is our individuals who live with behavioral health issues, our seniors. I know my sister's mother-in-law is in a nursing home with severe dementia. And, so all of those things are covered by Medicaid and just so crucial. And yeah, as I don't know who said it, but one of the parents had said, as long as we're alive and we're here, we can fill in to the best of our abilities. But a lot of us are aging and we're not going to be here forever. And forever isn't as far away as it used to be. So anyway, please, I appreciate you writing this letter. It's not just a concern on the federal level. Yes, the federal government's looking for cuts, but also the state government's looking at cuts. And so it's critical that we do anything we can, whether it's get to the county council and to the association of counties, or as individuals, write letters to our congressional people and to our local legislators as well, letting them know. So thank you very much, and I'll go back to being a professional now.
All right.
Susan.
Mona.
Yeah, Mona first now again. I just have a comment that I agree with all of those things. I want to encourage us not to underestimate our personal reach and network. Within the state, aunts, uncles, cousins, co-workers, church members, pastors, youth leaders, whoever has a touch point on the life of your loved one or that you just know, that you can say, this is critically important. Could you please visit that website, watch Emily's video, and then respond? Or just, can you please reach out? Here's some words to say to your legislators. The reason I asked about the coordinated effort nationwide is we have family across the nation. And we have been sending a script, a very short script, to them and asking them to send that to their representatives and legislators in Wisconsin, in Iowa, in Virginia, in Washington, D.C., in Minnesota, in North Dakota, in all the places where we have family, so that we can maximize our reach across the country, but as well as locally. So I encourage you to craft a little script and give it to everyone that you know, and ask them to please take 3 minutes and help support your loved one, your cause, your job, your person. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Randy, are you drafting a letter right now as we speak? I thought maybe if you started working now, by the end of the meeting, we could approve it. Okay. Yes, honey.
Give me till the morning, and I'll talk to Trish.
Hi, Hattie Stidham. I am here now as a parent and as a concerned community member. I have prepared something on this topic as well. Medicaid is far more than just healthcare coverage. While many people associate Medicaid with health insurance and doctor's visits, it plays a much larger role for individuals with disabilities. For them, Medicaid is often considered a golden ticket to essential services and support systems that help them lead fulfilling lives. It provides funding for supportive employment, allowing individuals with disabilities to find and maintain meaningful work, as well as housing and residential supports that offer stable living environments. Medicaid also covers personal care services, specialized therapies such as physical, occupational, and speech therapy, and other critical services that help individuals with disabilities live as independently as possible. In addition to these services, Medicaid plays a key role in supporting education for children with disabilities by supplementing special education services through individualized education programs, IEPs. It also ensures that infants and toddlers receive early intervention services to address developmental delays, for the disability community, Medicaid is not just healthcare or healthcare insurance program. It is a lifeline that helps prevent the loss of vital services and ensures access to comprehensive supports needed to thrive.
Well said.
Thank you, Hattie. Okay, Monica, can I go to Kathy? It has her hand up, but I'm not seeing her.
Kathy can't put her hand up, but I think she wants to speak.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, my camera is not working, and I tried everything. Yes, it is on, but it's just not going to show my face. I want to read a little bit of something that I posted on Facebook. And Emily, this was kind of an experiment on that, you know, put a face to it and share it. And the little post that I posted, I have family all over the West Coast, but there's a few over in the East Coast. But I was shocked. I mean, I have posted stuff about, you know, save Medicaid and all of that. And I get maybe, you know, 10 likes or a heart here or there. This went crazy. Like, you know, 400 or 500 people, most I didn't know. So it traveled all up and down the West Coast with family sharing it. And then it popped over to the East Coast. And there were people I had never even heard of liking it and encouraging me. So it's a really good project, I think. And I will submit what I wrote here for Ian. Ian is my son. He's a person who lives and works in his community. He does this with supports that are funded with Medicaid. Ian is in his 40s and has worked almost every year since he graduated from high school. The transition program he attended through the local school district helped him prepare for work. The transition program is for those on an IEP that are 18 to 21 years old. Transition programs have funding provided by the Department of Education. I wanted to put that in because the Department of Education is also... Ian's job supports are funded through Medicaid. He is a taxpayer. He lives in a companion home, also funded through Medicaid waivers. Removing his Medicaid funding will result in him having no residential supports, no job supports, and no health care. Ian is also a person highly impacted by autism. He is nonverbal and requires 24/7 supervision. Does he deserve to lose all of his supports so that we can give tax breaks to billionaires? Please contact your representatives in Congress and let them know that you do not support the severe cuts in Medicaid. Help us help Ian to maintain his supports. Again, that went crazy, and I have a big Facebook following, but you know, like I say, I post other things about, you know, please fight for this or please fight for that. But until I put a personal kind of twist on it, it just went crazy. So. Yes, let's all support no cuts to Medicaid, please. And thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, Monica.
And I just wanted to just share my bit of a story about my son, Michael, who I'm here again as other, professionals in our community. I'm here as a parent. And I'm a parent of a 41-year-old son who has autism, an intellectual disability, and an intractable seizure disorder that leads him to, on bad days, upwards of 100 seizures a day. He's on 3 medications that are paid by Medicare and Medicaid. He has one that is just paid by Medicare. He also has a vagus nerve stimulator that he's had to continually have batteries replaced. He's currently in a process of experiencing brittle bones because of his use of anti-epileptic seizures his whole life, and experienced a fracture of his leg in 3 places this last fall. His support needs are deep. His health, without Medicaid, his health will be compromised. And his ability to get health care will, you know, not be in place. He has a lot of support needs, that he needs, you know, one-on-one, 24-hour line of sight support, because of his drop seizures, because of the things that he has in his life.
So when people say, oh, that, which I hear oftentimes, it won't go that deep. I'm afraid there is a likelihood it will. And it will impact the likelihood of, you know, Michael moving back home, and just needing to take care of him. So although he is a most delightful young man, full of life and still has a long life to go, I don't. And so I see, my daughter picking up the baton from this, and she's still a young mom, and the impact will be grave. So when people say, oh, it's not going to impact, there is a likelihood it will in one way or fashion or in many ways. And he desperately needs Medicaid services and supports.
Thank you, Monica. Okay, so I'm not seeing other hands up, but that doesn't mean that there's not somebody that has something to share. I just want to put out there also that if you can show up to the county council's public meetings and give input there, so it's on the public record, and we will let you know, too, when we have a letter that we will take and share and get that on the public record as well. It was effective about a month ago when we had House Bill 1158 introduced, and Kevin went and gave his public statement, and I went and read the letter, and the situation worked out the way we had hoped it would. Is there anybody else with some community input? I don't want to disregard any voices. All right. And so our next agenda item is a legislative update. So, Hattie, are you doing this or is Darla?
I am, but it looks like Gabriella put her hand up.
Oh, Gabriella. Sorry.
Gabriella, you're muted. If,
that's okay.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry, I'm having trouble with my internet. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I had a really tough time joining today, because I'm having trouble with my computer and the internet. So anyways, I'm sorry. Yes, I wanted to share how important Medicaid is for our families, the families that I support. This is a very marginalized group that depends on Medicaid. If their children need any kind of medication, therapy, school supports, everything relies on Medicaid, and they don't have a way to get private insurance. Most of these families are undocumented. Their children are U.S. citizens. So it is so
Did you freeze, Gabriella? I think she might have frozen.
Nope,
there she is.
Oh, you froze, but you're back.
I know. So anyways, I don't know what you heard of what I said. How far?
We heard that you said that you work with families that are undocumented and that they rely on Medicaid for medications, I think. And then that's when it froze.
Okay. Yeah, so you can tell how important for them is to have Medicaid for their children, because they don't have a way to get private insurance. They can pay private insurance. So their children rely on Medicaid. They are U.S. citizens, and they need this protection. They need these services. So it's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Sorry, my computer is really having some issues today. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabriella. Okay. Now, legislative update. Darla, are you going to take that, or is Hattie's here in the room with us?
Yes, Hattie's going to take the lead. I'm just here for backup.
All right. So, hi again. Hattie Spigans, Peace Northwest Program Manager. So I've prepared a legislative update for you all. I think Angela was going to share it on the screen. So give just a second. Right, so as of today, March 5th, 2025, we are officially halfway through the 2025 regular legislative session. Last Friday, February 28th, was the first major legislative cutoff where bills needed to be read and voted out of their fiscal committees in their houses of origin. This week, the House and Senate are voting on the floor. They have until March 12th at 5 p.m. to consider bills in the house in their house of origin before going to the opposite chamber. If you have any questions about any of that, please raise your hand or let me know. Also, Governor Ferguson last week, he publicized his proposed budget, and some, most of it, which were cuts to programs in hopes to address the extreme revenue shortfall. A few of them were $30 million plus reduction to ECAP, $350,000 reduction to professional guardianships, and revoking of a 15% provider rate increase for crisis diversion and overnight planned respite. So after that cutoff last Friday, some of the bills that are moving forward is House Bill 1472, closing up Yakima Valley and Rainier Schools, which are two of our RHCs. And this one, as of right now, is necessary to implement the budget. House Bill 1390 is repealing the Community Protection Program. House Bill 1357, expanding special education funding for inclusionary practices. And that was a Representative Stonier bill from down here in the 49th District. House Bill 1217 limits rent, fees, and deposits for tenants. House Bill 1130 prioritizes waiver distributions for clients over 45 years old. So that would be for our new DBA clients that are looking to be placed on waivers, ones that have theoretically aging parents and are 45 years or older would be top priority. Something's not moving forward, and that one, House Bill 1158, which Susan mentioned, which was a community inclusion services. Senate Bill 5654, which addressed restraint and isolation in schools, is not moving forward. House Bill 1257, which would expand transition services to students through the end of the school year in which the student turns 22. Right now, it is up in, schools are required to provide services up until they turn 22. So if you turn 22 in October, you're done. But if you don't turn 22 until June, you can continue to go. And then House Bill 1200, which would have authorized payments for parental caregivers of minor children with IDD, that did not move forward. Last day of session of the regular session is April 27th. So we have, you know, half of the session to go, but now is really crucial to get connected to your legislators. We are going to be going up to Olympia a few more times. Our next time will be on Monday. If anyone is interested, I have, I might have a second driver that might be interested in carpooling, and so we would be able to. Kevin, you'd like to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's connect after this.
Mm-hmm.
And then down here at the bottom, I have some details. If you are interested in going, we have a registration link under that second bullet point. And then I also have linked the operating budget side by side, bills of interest that Kathy at the ARC of the Washington State puts out, and then the legislative notebook that the ARC of Washington has on their website is also there. And there's a lot of good charts and data if you're prepping for a legislative meeting with one of your representatives. I always like to go and look at the charts and data because a lot of our representatives likes to see the numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Hattie. Are there questions for Abby? I don't see any hands up in the room. How about online? So, Hattie, you mentioned Senate Bill 5654 addressing restraint and isolation that's not moving forward. Was that a cost-neutral bill, or do you have any idea why that was?
Part of it was addressing the training for teachers and what that would look like. I know that there were a lot of concerns coming from WEA specifically with the training and the kind of cost prohibitive for them. Hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have a question for Hattie or Darla?
I just want to encourage everyone to get involved. Whether you go to Olympia or you just send your emails to your legislators, now is when they need to hear from us. They're still looking at extensive budget cuts. DSHS Secretary Cheryl Strange sent out an email yesterday, I think it was yesterday, reimagining DSHS and how they can take down some of the silos and what they can do internally to merge programs and try to find some savings. So it's really critical. There's a lot of crazy things going on a federal level, but it's really important we be involved on a state level as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Darla.
And also, if you're not able to go to Olympia, but you'd still like to meet with your legislators, I'm more than happy to help coordinate meetings with people virtually.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, following that up, bills of interest, and Trish was going to help me out here.
Okay.
Because we just talked about, we just went over some of the bills that are moving forward and not moving forward. And as many of you might know, the, I don't know, 1158, the community inclusion improvement, was not really an improvement. It was a drastic reduction in services. And so we were able to draft a letter and share that with the county commissioners, county counselors, and it, as you saw, is not moving forward. So that was a big win. And that's when we rallied our voices before and it paid off. Mm-hmm. So what else have we got?
Well, I think, Randy had talked about potentially the board, doing a letter, about, the Medicaid cuts and, you know, this is kind of the time for the board to consider if there's anything else that you all would like to take action on. With 1158, you wrote a letter to the county council, and to our state legislators. Perhaps you might want to write a letter to county council, state legislators, and our congressional delegation. So that's just, you know, I think that was what Randy might have been suggesting.
Okay, yeah.
So, but yeah, I saw your hand was up, Randy, so maybe you can take it away as a
She's
board
got the letter written.
Sorry, no, I concur utterly, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, so we've got great staff. I'm happy to review the letter. Anything I can do to help, let me know. This is my first year in the legislative process in the state of Washington. Is there any resurrection time, like on the restraint and seclusion bill? Is there any time to get anything reconsidered, or are we just doomed this
how,
year?
How does that work? Because sometimes they have like a little zombie on the arc, you know, like, can you give us any insight into that? Like when things get resurrected, is that when it's necessary to implement the budget?
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit more about that?
No, Darla.
Darla, can you share a little bit more about that? Like how things get resurrected? Sometimes they have like a zombie instead of a smiley face on that ARC list of bills. So yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's when they're necessary to implement the budget. And the restraint bill did have a little bit of a fiscal note because of teacher training, and anything that had fiscal notes really just kind of died this year because the state is in pretty dire shape. Our next forecast is March, Okay, I don't know if it's the 18th or the 20th. I keep losing my dates, but it's one or the other. And then we'll have, right after that, we'll be seeing the House and the Senate budgets come out. So it's really important that we kind of see how things go. One of the things that, sorry, I don't mean to sound doom and gloom, but as we all know, consumer confidence is dropping, and when consumer confidence drops, people don't shop as much. And in Washington State, our primary source of income is sales tax. So Washington State is doubly hit hard when consumer confidence drops. And so that forecast in a couple weeks is really going to make a huge difference. But I don't see any bills that have that are not necessary to implement the budget being resurrected. Unfortunately, this year. We may be able to readdress it next year.
All right. Thank you for the clarification, Darla. Now, if we want to do a letter, do we have to have it written and like voted on before we can do it? So like once our meeting is adjourned tonight, we need to re-meet.
The board has done before where they have assigned a task to staff to like write the letter, and then the board chair signs it and sends it on.
So
you could say that, you know, you want to summarize the concerns expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, you might want to also include, the number of people impacted, examples of the services, and, you know, some of the things that we've heard tonight in that letter. And then the board can vote that's what you want to include in the letter. I mean, and this is up to y'all what you want to include. And then that can be drafted and moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, last time y'all did a letter, since there was a bill, it was pretty clear, like,
mm-hmm.
Hey, here's some of the things to consider. So, but in the past, y'all have taken action and said, hey, we want to express the concerns, and, we move forward that way. So, we had an opportunity to like come prepared with a letter last time, but this time since we don't, yeah.
So we could just give the gist of what we want included in the letter,
yeah,
and then go ahead and write the letter and send it without having another public meeting.
Yeah, cool. You can take action to assign staff to develop a letter, which I would be asking y'all for some input on that too.
And Amy, I thought I saw your hand going up, or were you just acknowledging?
I was just going to ask, do you want a motion?
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that what you were raising your hand for too? Okay.
Exactly. Robert's Rules of Order. Yeah. Amy, would you like to move? I'd be happy to second.
Well, we'll see if I can get enough in the motion. I was trying to write down what Trish was saying. But I move, that the DDAB implore our staff to write a letter to the county council as well as the Association of Counties, to underscore the need or our concerns related to cuts to Medicaid, specifically summarizing our concerns, the stories shared with us in the meeting tonight, the demographics, and specifics related to services received by Clark County community members, and additional relevant information as staff deems appropriate, to be signed by our chair and sent immediately.
I would like to second that motion with the tiny amendment that we also send the same letter to our state legislators and the appropriate committees at the state government, as well as to our Congress people.
Mm-hmm. Second Randy's amendment to the motion.
All right. So the motion has been shared and seconded. Any conversation? Bob?
Can we also include federal level legislators in that send out?
Yeah. I think that's what
part of.
Yeah, I think that's what Randy said in her amendment, was the congressional representatives as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Cool. Thanks for catching that. Any other conversation? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion has passed. A letter will be written and distributed widely. Thank you. Okay. Family training series, transition fair, and employer awards information. Anthony.
Hi, everybody. My name is Anthony Contreras-Sanchez. I'm a training and technical assistance manager with WISE, the Washington Initiative for Supported Employment. Happy to be here with you all. Previously lived and worked in the Tri-Cities area and moved to the Vancouver-Clark County area at the end of last year, so I'm really happy to be here and be a part of the community. Excuse me. A part of that move is I now get the privilege to be a part of the WISE team that is supporting the Family and Educators Training Series. I was able to attend two of them so far, and I had an amazing time with the group there. So I'm here to talk a little bit about where we, what we've done so far since the series has started in October, and kind of what the plan is moving forward, and some of the highlights. I will say that I don't have all of the information, so if there's a question and I'm not able to answer it, I'm more than happy to come back to everyone with an answer once I get that from my teammates. So the Family and Educators Training Series kicked off October 15th. There was the orientation, and it's covered quite a few different topics ranging from adult life, what it can look like, navigating the adult system for individuals, and then introduction to SSI and benefits planning. Some highlights for that, we are running a hybrid model with both online and in-person participation through that. Online attendance so far has been at 50 individuals have joined us online, and in-person attendance is at 76 individuals. So really excited about those numbers. There is a student component for the in-person workshops. We have that set up for students to kind of do their own workshops and some great activities for that. We've also created a website with additional training and resources, and that was developed by WISE and the committee to capture online training needs and growing resources. I believe that will be on the next slide, so we can talk about that. As mentioned,
did you want me to move to the next slide?
Can we go back really quickly? I just want to finish my thoughts.
Thank you.
So yes, there is a website with on-demand trainings, presentation materials, other community organizations on there, and further resources. All sessions are provided, again, both virtually and in person with ASL and Spanish interpreters when requested. Go ahead and go on to the next slide for me. So on the screen right now, you have a QR code that will take you to the website. It is www.clarkfamilyresources.org, and that's where you can access a lot of the information that's been shared for the training series. The next presentation is this month, March 18th. Is Guardianship, ABLE Accounts, and the Washington's Endowment Trust Fund. So that will be happening, as I mentioned, March 18th. There is a virtual and in-person component, and as I mentioned, there will be ASL interpreters and Spanish interpreters when requested. After that, we do have our community resource fair that we're putting together on May 17th. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Want to go to the next slide? Thank you. So this is going to be a community resource fair. The theme for it is putting it all together, creating your plan and resource fair. It is going to be at Henrietta Lacks High School. Currently we have over 20 interested vendors in tabling and being there. Last year we had 175 people attend the event. So we'll have resources around employment, housing, recreation, and a lot more. And there will be free lunch provided for attendees. We do ask that everyone register, so there is a clickable link on the flyer that I can send to the team to get out to everyone. So you can register not just for the resource fair, but also for the March training series event as well. Go ahead and the next slide for me, please. Thank you. The other thing I just wanted to briefly talk about is National Disability Employment Awareness Month celebration. So this happens every October during National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Last year's event took place on October 9th, 2024. I believe at Clark County. Clark College. Apologies. Mario Ayland was the keynote speaker, and we had 233 registrants for that event, and it was also streamed virtually by CCTV. With that event, this year, it's going to take place on October 8th, 2025. I'm not sure on all of the details for that. I believe it's still in the same place. Right? Mm-hmm. Cool, awesome, excited about that. We are always looking for individuals to join us in the planning for that. I'm working with Emily Harris, my coworker at WISE, who is wanting me to say that if anyone's interested in joining that committee and being involved, to reach out to Emily. If you want to go to the next slide, it'll have her contact information. So you can reach her through email at emily@gowise.org.
And I know Kevin joined. And then
I joined the first meeting in February, I think it was.
Yeah. And if there's anybody else, I would be happy if there are any other advisory board members that want to join. I'd be happy to connect you and Emily. So you can feel free to raise your hand right now if you would like to be one of those advisory board members if you're interested in doing the planning for the event this year. Randy?
I just wanted to give a shout out to Emily and her team. Originally, they had planned the event in April, and I noted that it was Passover, and they couldn't have been nicer about moving the date and did it immediately. So just, we always have time to complain when things go wrong. I just wanted to give a shout out to WISE for handling it so beautifully. I'm really grateful. And I can participate. Happy to help however I can.
Thank you for that. I'll make sure to pass that on to Emily as well.
All right. And Anthony, getting a stiff neck here, but the transition fair, did you emphasize it is free, right? The family training, all that stuff is free to anybody to participate. So make sure that people know that it's not a cost to them other than giving up a little bit of their time, and it's well worth it. I attended it, oh my gosh, probably more than 10 years ago.
Absolutely, yes. So all of these are free to the public.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any questions for Anthony? All you onliners. Bob.
Anthony, I just wanted to say that something was distributed to me that had the April 12th date on it. So I just wanted to make sure WISE pulls every resource of the resource fair that it's been, the date has been changed. So, just to make sure that it's not getting,
spread out,
the wrong dates mixed in.
Okay. Thank you. I will, connect with the team about getting that out again. Yeah. With the correct date. Yes.
Very cool. Any other questions for Anthony? All right. Thank you, Anthony, so much for sharing. And then finally, our last agenda item is program updates from Mrs. Bisser.
Yes. So thank you. I'm just going to make it really quick. Cause it is Ash Wednesday. I messed up on that one too tonight for scheduling the meeting. But, if that is your thing, then you can still get to a service tonight if you so desire.
Monica.
So I'm going to make it quick. Yeah. I just wanted to give an update tonight because, there's been a lot of information coming out of the federal government, and there's been lots of news, about different things that, are happening, different requirements that might be coming down. I just wanted to let y'all know that we are in contact with our state funders, and they have shared, and we talk with them on a regular basis about any changes that are coming our way. And they have shared that they have not heard anything as of yet, right? So we are not gonna manage our program based on what is tweeted out, or I guess it's not tweeting anymore, it's X or whatever. We're not going to like manage our program based on what's coming out on social media or through the news. We are working directly with our funder to make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do. And we haven't heard that we need to be doing anything differently than what we have been doing. We have an ongoing commitment and requirement to serve all people who are determined eligible for our program. We're going to continue to be inclusive of all voices and be community-minded. We're going to center people who are in need of our programs the most and who are not being served or who are not achieving outcomes similar to everybody else. We want to celebrate everybody's differences and create an environment of belonging. We want to respect and recognize individual uniqueness and authentic self, foster togetherness to problem solve issues that affect the vulnerable and most impacted. So those are, our commitments. We are going to continue to serve everybody, specifically people of color and people in the LGBTQIA plus community. I know that people that experience those multiple identities can sometimes have a challenge with where to turn for support. And so we want to be able to provide support to everybody. So I just wanted to say that there's a lot of noise happening right now, and the whole issue around Medicaid is very serious. We are very concerned about potential cuts, because that is something real that's happening in Congress right now. So when I think about all of the different things that are coming out on the news, this is the one thing, potential Medicaid cuts is very real, and that's congressional action. So that's not just somebody saying something they think that we should do. That could have very real impact. So I really appreciate everybody showing up tonight, and we hope that you continue to show up in spaces and make sure our elected officials are aware of your concerns. So thank you.
All right. Any questions for Trish or final comments?
Darla's got her hands up.
I have one. And so I am going to repeat something I heard someone say. Sorry, Trish. You said that very eloquently. But I just do want to put out to all the families that are in the room, I have heard that within a month to 3 months, Social Security checks are going to be delayed, if not messed up. And so they had recommended individuals living on Social Security try to save as much as possible, which is and I will also remind you that if you're on Medicaid, you have a $2,000 resource limit. But I did want to put that out there in case others had not heard it. That's something that's going to drastically also impact this population. Thank you. And that was due to the change in staffing at the Social Security office.
Yeah. That could have big impacts too. Mm-hmm. I did also just want to note something that I saw in chat. Rena Van Meter said it would be great to see more input from the disability community when planning the awards in October. So I just wanted to say, give voice to that comment as well. So I think that we have our committee, and I think the committee would definitely be interested in that for sure.
Right. All right, everybody. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your sharing of your experiences and the impact that all of this craziness will have. And we will get a letter written and let people know when we plan to go share it with our county counselors. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.